Hour two, kick it off in the Fan Run Studios. Let's start with some hour two headlines. What do you got, Cam?
We're not doing Houdini.
No, I do have Houdini, sorry. First of all, a little housekeeping. Apparently, they are putting us at 5:30 because they're doing a doubleheader. Auburn and Alabama are going to be on SEC Network at 8:30. So they told us to play at 5:30. That way they can do
two
straight games of baseball.
I feel like they would have done that the other way around and put the teams that are playing in Central Time.
Earlier? Put them at 4:30? That wouldn't make any sense.
Oh, wait, no, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it'd be the opposite.
Yeah.
Either way. The cause of death for Houdini, they say, was an appendix bursting. Story goes, it was a punch that killed him. It wasn't a cannonball, but it was a punch. Basically, he was like at his college. Some guy walked up to him. Some students like, is it true that you can withstand hard punches and you won't, you know, it won't bother you? And Houdini said, yeah. So then the guy just started punching him in the stomach like four times before he apparently got to brace himself, which apparently it ruptured his appendix. And then by the time they got it out, it already poisoned his body and he died, is what some say.
Okay.
But the conspiracies go that basically he had gotten himself into trouble with the wrong people. He had a plight against basically people who – psychics and people that go into like do seances and stuff. He called it like devil stuff and was like trying to get it outlawed. He went to Congress to get it outlawed. So some people think that the spiritual community got
him
killed.
Out.
Like assassinated him. Yeah, that's what some people think.
That's incredible. That is awesome.
That he had he had made the wrong people mad and they took him out.
Who knew that the spiritual
couldn't make that one last escape?
Yep.
Oh, Harry.
So it was like the devil worshiper people?
But then some people go back and say, not really the devil. Well, I don't know. Like when I think of like psychics and seance stuff, I mean, I guess there's some dabbling with the devil. But like
I feel like seances, you're like trying to summon spirits.
Yeah, you're trying to summon the dead. It's like not necessarily from the devil, just like dead spirits. So I don't know if I consider it the same. But they're cousins at least. But then one people were theorizing that maybe the guy who killed him through the punches was spent to do so. Which I don't know if that, but they couldn't convict him of any criminal plot, but like, I don't know.
Interesting. Houdini conspiracies.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, hour two headlines, what do you got?
Well, speaking of getting out of a jam, the Lady Vols softball team. 13 innings. They got it done. Longest SEC tournament game in softball history. They beat Mississippi State 1-0 in 13 innings.
Let's go.
Ashley Rogers pitched the whole game.
What a stud.
And, yeah, they're playing in the semifinals at 3 today for a chance to go to the championship.
So now, she'll pitch again today, right? Like in softball, you don't really take days off from pitching, right? Like,
yeah, I think she'll probably keep going.
I think she might get a day off. Right?
I don't know.
Like, I think
it's the semifinals. I mean,
we neither.
So they do single elimination, I guess, for softball? They ain't got time for double?
I guess. I felt like they used to have a bigger tournament.
According to this bracket, they just...
I thought they were just doing single this year, at least.
Yeah, according to this bracket, they ain't got time for double elimination.
Let me hit up my softball guy.
No need to. I'm looking at secsports.com/brackets.
No, I mean softball. To see if Ashley Rogers pitches.
Oh. I mean, I'm pretty sure that... Just always keep going because I guess the underhand motion doesn't have any strain on the arm. I guess I don't.
Yeah, it doesn't. Not the same as
she like, did throw like 156 pitches yesterday.
We'll see.
I mean, it's not straining your arm, but still, like just doing that 156 times.
You would think
with the
lower
body and everything else, like it's gonna wear you down.
Okay, we'll see then. I'm not saying I know.
I don't know either. I'm just trying to reason it. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I've heard though that like day on, day off, day on.
Maybe. See if you can get to the bottom of that for us. But shout out to her. What a legendary performance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 13 innings. Pretty impressive.
Next headline. Oh, you got it? Did you get the info already or no?
Yeah, I do. Oh, Hayden just texted me. Apparently, he's our softball guy.
Well, what'd he say?
The number two pitcher is pitching today.
Okay.
Hayden was really into the softball game yesterday.
I mean, softball's pretty fun.
I enjoy it. He was like, he was really into it. Like, it's before extras even started.
It's kind of sad that we had 11 hits and scored one run.
Yeah.
It was,
that seems like a statistical anomaly.
Yeah.
At one point, we tried to sack bunt, sack bunted into a double play, which just shouldn't be a thing with how short those bases are.
I was going to say, sack bunting in general seems really hard in softball, but just, I mean, I know obviously it's not the same, but the same day, Florida had 11 hits, same as we did, and they scored 9 runs. I mean, it's just funny how that happens. Anyways, next headline, Cam.
All right. Oh, so we had a lot.
Did you jab one, Charlie? Sorry, I thought.
I thought I was starting one, and then we got interrupted. Oh. Never mind.
No, go ahead. What do you got?
The Titans released their list of tryout players at rookie minicamp.
Okay.
Quentin Dormady is one of them.
All right.
Which feels weird. I don't know how he's at a rookie training camp because I thought he was like.
You can bring veterans in. Oh, okay. They don't have to be.
He's
got to
be like 28 by now.
It's just a tryout thing.
He's younger than Dobbs.
He went to, I don't know, I just feel like he spent roughly 8 years in college. but also Kenneth George, getting a tryout too. Shout out Kenneth.
Good for Kenneth.
I mean, technically you're still a rookie unless you've like debuted, right? So I mean, like,
but well, yeah, that's a good point. But they do let veterans in there as well because it's kind of just a tryout thing, but they're getting the rookies in there, you know, because just signed them and whatnot. But, yeah. Lots of NFL news yesterday. Obviously, schedule releases came out, things like that. But we have a new host of Football Night in America.
Okay.
Maria Taylor is going to be the host of Football Night in America.
Just kind of a matter of time, right? I mean, once they gave her that big money to come to NBC, you knew she was going to do the Olympics. And then it was kind of thought that she would be transitioned. Who was the last host?
Tirico.
But now Tirico's going to the booth. Is Tirico going to the booth with Chris? Because isn't Al Michaels leaving? Didn't Al Michaels go to Amazon?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's
He's the full-time play-by-play announcer on Sunday night. So, they basically bumped Maria Taylor in. She was already doing it when he was doing some play-by-play.
Right, and she had her space on the show anyways, so now it's official.
Yeah, but so now she's going to be the full-time.
Any thoughts on that? I mean,
I like Maria Taylor.
She's
I'm
talented.
Sure she'll rock it out.
Yeah, she's talented. I don't know how much it actually matters who hosts. Do you watch the pregame show? I don't watch the pregame show, really.
Sometimes if I'm just kind of, because, you know, it's that, you got that gap in between the 4 o'clock games ending, and sometimes I'll just have it on the channel and have it kind of on the background. I don't really, like, go out of my way to watch it or anything, though.
I wait for the touchdown montage on Red Zone to end, and then usually during football night.
Do you watch the touchdown montage? Like, have you been watching Red Zone, like, the whole time? Like,
I watch it when I haven't watched Red Zone the whole time.
I watch, if I'm not watching the Titans, I watch exclusively Red Zone.
Yeah. So I feel like if you just watch the Red Zone, you don't need, like, a rehash of the
any of the touchdowns from the Titans time slot.
Fair enough.
But I love I live for the touchdown montage. Like, I get upset if I miss it. I record it. So I watch that. And then Football Night in America comes on.
I usually DVR Red Zone during Titans games, and then I turn over and, you know, watch during commercials and halftime, and then, like, after the Titans game, I'll kind of watch on, like, one speed to get caught up on the action. That way I'm kind of seeing the big plays
good
and
way
stuff,
to do
even
it.
Though sometimes I already know what happens. But,
for Football Night in America, though, it's usually when you just, like, figure out dinner, you know, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't really watch Football Time America. I take the dog out, I walk around, go get dinner.
Like,
or just
that's when I go out, I make myself go outside for like 10 minutes just so I can feel like
say
a normal
you did it.
Human being. Unless the Titans picked up like a massive win, and then I think they might actually mention that we're a real football team.
Hey, we got what, 4 primetime games this
year? Yeah, they're making us go on the road for 3 of them, but we got 4.
Well, they're not making us go on the road for them. We're already playing those teams on the road, but.
No, they're making us go on
the road. It's nice to. It's tough to go on the road for prime time because usually the home crowd's ready to go. Like, I feel like there's probably like a better home field advantage on prime time, right? I would say the numbers bear that out. But we'll talk about the Titans schedule here in a bit. But shout out to Maria Taylor.
Yeah.
Some entertainment news. Speaking of NBC, the former Saturday Night Live star Norm Macdonald. We know he died a couple months ago.
I was very confused when he started that.
A couple months ago. It's actually September. Damn.
Jeez.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't realize it was that long ago. But apparently, leading up to his death, he was still doing material and had secretly recorded a run-through of a planned stand-up special shortly before his death, and it is now coming to Netflix as they are going to piece it together and have one more hour of Norm Macdonald comedy as he, you know, was fighting the end of his battle against cancer.
Netflix grabs up everything. Yeah. Quickness.
Which, I mean, I think they had relationships with him from before. Like, he had a show on there. It put some specials up there, so I guess they probably had like some type of contract with him. And
so he recorded this knowing he was dying to be like
It was a run through, so it wasn't like he was recording it as a final thing. Like, he thought maybe he was going to get to do an actual special for it, but I mean, like, he knew obviously how sick he was.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird to watch, honestly.
It will be, but it'll be therapeutic. And I mean, I know it's a. David Spade, who was a close friend, you know, said when he watched it, you know, he was definitely crying. But I mean, you know, it doesn't necessarily. It's his friend, so it might not hit everybody the same way. Any other headlines we need to hit to, Cam?
Yeah, I found this interesting note out yesterday. When it comes to the NFL, this is the last year that NFC games automatically go on Fox and, you know, AFC automatically goes on CBS.
Oh, really?
Basically, every game is a free agent next year.
What?
I think there's supposed to be a quota still. Like, I think Fox is still supposed to get a certain number of NFC games.
They get the Cowboys games they want, basically.
Yeah, but then you still, like, yeah, they can pick, basically almost pick which games you want, I guess. I don't know if they have to bid for them or what the deal is there. But, yeah, apparently the games are going to be kind of, could be back and forth a little bit.
Huh.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Well, too much, you're going to have to.
That is way too much for me. My brain has been trained to know what teams will play on what station based on what, you know, their competition is. I don't want to deal with anything changing on that regard. I hate change.
Well, this old dog's going to have to learn some new tricks because it's coming. Yeah, I found that was really interesting because did not know that was a thing. But
which I hope that means they don't give us – well, I guess here it won't really matter. Like, the Titans will still be the local team, so you'll still get – whether or not it's CBS or Fox, you'll still have.
Yeah, you there, should get it, yeah.
I wouldn't mind if it's Fox, then we get less, like, Saints games. Yeah. Less Panthers games. Like, hey, yeah, we can still watch the AFC and the Titans. Wow, what a win. That'd be
kind of
cool.
Actually, you know, that is kind of a win.
Yeah. If it works out that way. Good batch of headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. The NFL schedule release. It happened.
We did it. We made it.
Any big takeaways from it, Cam?
We were kind of just talking about it in the break. I was really intrigued that there's a Monday night football game in London this year.
We do have a Monday night football game in London. How, you may ask, seeing how they're what? We decided they're 6 hours ahead of us?
Five.
5 hours ahead of us? That seems like a weird time. So yep. It does appear that the American audience will be the ones dealing with a weird time as the Broncos versus Jaguars, which, I mean, I guess it's Russell Wilson versus Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll want to watch. And it's football. It'll happen on October 30th, Monday morning at 9:30 Eastern time.
That's so absurd to me.
9:30 Eastern time.
Why are they catering to them and not us? We're America. We're so much more important.
They're trying to expand the brand.
And they also get to put it on ESPN Plus. So, like, you know, you got to have your ESPN Plus to watch it. Mm. But, yeah, expand the brand. If I was wanting to expand the brand, I would quit sending the Jaguars. But either way.
They love them there.
They do love them there.
They're throwing beer cans on the field because they're loving them so much.
They are London's team. It is true. But 9:30 Eastern, that's 6:30 Pacific time. So the West Coast football fans, like.
The Broncos over there, too, just.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't even think
that. Broncos fans are in danger.
Denver will be dealing with 7:30 Eastern.
Yeah.
You know, being in mountain time, but still. That's pretty ridiculous.
So we also have one. I think in Mexico.
We've done that before, and they don't have to change the time there. They're still in the same time zone. But we do. The Cardinals and 49ers play in Mexico this year. Of course, we were supposed to have another one of those games in Mexico with the Chiefs and Rams that one year, but the turf was so bad. Remember, they had to move it?
Oh, yeah.
But we've had games in Mexico before. I believe it was the Texans. Raiders played the last one. And I remember they were shooting lasers at, like, the quarterback's eyes. Like, I feel like Derek Carr got laser shot in his eyes, or maybe it was Deshaun Watson. I don't know, but I feel like we haven't been back
forgot about the Lasers.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't been back to Mexico since then, but the Cardinals and 49ers will be there.
We also got that Germany game this year, it seems like.
So we got three separate international locations. I know that's not the only.
Yeah,
like,
I think there's five international games, but yeah, the three different locations.
So London's still getting their three games, and then they're adding one in Mexico and London.
Yeah.
Which, 9:30 seems like a really tough time to make football players play football.
Yeah. That,
well, I think how early do they get to London to acclimate?
I don't know. I don't know if they have
they
a bye week.
Off
I don't know how to after, yeah.
Some do it differently. Like, for a while, teams were showing up like the week of, like the Monday before, and trying to do a whole week in London. I want to say the most recent trend has just been like getting there on Friday and just dealing with it. Like, not letting your body really get like changed too much and just go there and play. Also, less time to get in trouble and just, like, you know, just go there, try to keep your same routine and just do, like, how real is jet lag? I don't know. I've never really done, like, a cross-country trip or a cross, not even cross-country, cross-Atlantic trip. The furthest I've ever flown to is, like, Vegas, and sure, you always feel a little groggy, but nothing serious. Like, you feel fine afterwards, but that's also not flying, like, private or chartering your own jet. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know how much it actually affects you.
To me, like, the most tiring part of the flying is just, like, getting to the airport and, like, being crunched, you know, crunched up against people.
I'm sure you can, like, adjust your sleep schedule enough for the couple days, I guess, and
just deal with it.
Yeah, get up, rock and roll, and I don't know.
But, any big takeaways, Charlie, from the schedule release? Cam gave you his, the international slate. Anything that stood out to you?
I honestly kept my attention pretty much on the Titans.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Titans then.
I honestly don't know, like, what I'm learning these things about. I knew we were playing in Mexico, but, like, the 8:30 game and everything like that, I didn't pay attention to any of that. But as for the Titans schedule, the game I think I'm probably most looking forward to is that Dallas Thursday night game in week 16, right after Christmas. At home.
Right before New Year's, which is also nice. It'll be right before the Music City Bowl, too. So take that, right. SEC schools or Big Ten schools or ACC schools that have to play in the Music City Bowl. Usually you mess up the field for the Titans. The Titans are going to mess up the field for you. Deal with it.
Oh, my. I just figured out the London thing. They're actually playing that on Sunday, but they have it listed under their Monday Night Football slate.
Oh.
I don't know why, but I just looked and noticed they had the Bengals-Browns, like, the day after. And that's actually on a Monday.
So they're calling it Monday Night Football,
but yeah,
it's really just ESPN Plus?
Yeah, it's just that Sunday morning, like the usual ones. Okay, so that's not as weird.
Well, that pisses me off because I wanted it to be weird.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense for, like, a league that has, you know, that cares so much about TV viewership. It wouldn't have made sense to put one on it.
I want us to start, like, I want Jags Texans Wednesday at 4 a.m. in Rotterdam. But
what do we make of the, I mean, like, week one, I know you're talking a little bit about the Titans, but Titans open the season up with the Giants, which go ahead.
Kind of unfair that we have to play New York on 9/11.
I did notice that. It did stand out a little bit to me.
Not to be insensitive, but that's just kind of unfair.
I did notice that as well. Although there might be a benefit to it. Maybe they're going to feel too much pressure dealing with it.
I feel like they'd supernaturally win on 9/11.
But they really lost.
Yeah, I don't think they've had a successful 9/11.
That wasn't a win.
Well, no, but, like,
well, it depends. I mean, if you think it was the inside job, they got the job done. So, I mean, I guess technically whoever was setting off the, you know, controlled explosion, I guess they were winning.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they're trying to distract us from, I don't know. But week one, you know, Titans open up with the Giants, which let's hope that goes better than last year's debut over an NFC team where Kyler Murray absolutely carved us up.
Yeah.
But did you notice the Monday Night Football game, week one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos headed to Seattle to play the Seahawks.
Yeah, I don't know why they're doing that to Seattle. Like, I know you're going to have the matchup, but, like,
we're going to massacre you on Monday Night Football for everyone to see while you trot out Drew Lock.
I mean,
or Geno Smith.
I mean, I don't know. Like, if you're the Broncos, you probably don't want your first game with Russell Wilson being, like, that emotional game. Like,
fair enough.
If I'm Russell, I don't know if I want that because, like, we might get off to a slow start. It might take us a couple games to jail.
Yeah.
You know, the Seahawks do stink. I think their over-under is only, like, 5.5.
Yeah, they should not be great with their quarterback situation.
Bills Rams, the opener.
Yeah, I like that.
We were wondering about that as the defending champions get there. They're going to give us a big, big primetime game of maybe, I mean, I don't know if the Rams are still the Super Bowl favorites in the NFC. It seems like they have as good a shot as anybody.
Yeah.
And the Bills, of course, the favorites in the AFC. So you're getting a gigantic matchup on that Thursday night opener.
I mean, your week one's pretty just a pretty great slate, I feel like, as far as with Tampa and Dallas again.
We're going to be so desperate for football that we're going to love it no matter what. But, yeah, like this. Yeah. The primetime-wise, I thought, you know, the Monday night game could have been better, but at least it's interesting with Russell going back to Seattle. But, yeah, Tampa going to Dallas, kind of a rematch of last year's opener, that's a pretty big matchup as well.
Oh, yeah. Raiders, Chargers, Bengals, Steelers.
So you get some division games.
Chiefs, Cardinals.
Yeah, the division games that early. The division games that early seem pretty tough.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled with that, but it is what it is.
I mean, home opener, you should have some juice though. Like it should be a raucous crowd. But I mean, I guess that gives the
fans aren't out of it yet.
You're not out of it. Yeah, like it's a playoff game. But yeah, like that's hitting the ground running. Titans schedule overall. I mean, I saw a point made that the Giants being the week one matchup and then following the Bills on Monday Night Football is actually a pretty big advantage for the Titans because you're going to be playing like their offensive system the week before and Brian Daboll, who's going to be in New York now.
You're playing the same offense almost 3 weeks in a row. Like even Las Vegas will presumably run what is almost the same offense.
Do they with McDaniels?
Yeah, they do. Because that's where, I mean, Daboll McDaniels, like they both draw from the same, you know, origins. But
I just think when I think of,
but like especially,
that, I think of more of like the RPOs type of stuff.
But especially, from New York to Buffalo, you're going to see the same offense. But yeah, I think you see the same with Las Vegas too. I think obviously the Titans are going to play a tough schedule this year. That happens when the AFC is as good as it is. That happens when you're playing a first place schedule. But it is rather balanced, I thought, for the most part. Like,
just from a Titans lens, I didn't love the week six bye.
Right.
I like my bye weeks to be a little bit later, but I do like getting a bye before the home game against Indianapolis,
than a week 14 bye.
And you also get a little mini bye.
That's what we had last year, I'm pretty sure. Week 13, we had a very late bye last year.
Yeah, and you do get a little mini bye November 17th. You play the Thursday night football, and then you go back home to Cincy, so like you can get a little bit of extra rest there to make a late push again.
Yeah, but I don't like playing a Denver team that we think is going to be pretty physical on defense. And then turning around and having to go to Green Bay on a short week. So that's pretty much a scheduled loss in prime time where you're probably going to get embarrassed.
But like weeks one through eight feel pretty balanced. And then you go on a really tough four-game stretch. I mean, at the Chiefs, Sunday night football. You come back home and play the Broncos. And then you go play Thursday night football at the Packers before you get the Bengals at home. Like that four-game stretch, I don't want to say it's a season definer because – you know, if you go 2-2, depending, or even like 1-3, you know, if you do really well on all the other games, that won't necessarily define your season. But that's obviously the highlight stretch of the Titans season. But then, you know, weeks 13 through 18, I feel like it's pretty balanced again. You're alternating home and away. You know, Philly is a decent team, but then you get a nice game against Jacksonville. And then you have to play a good Chargers team, but then you get a home game with Houston. And you get Dallas at home. And then you end the season with Jacksonville. I think you should win your last. Really, I think you should win, you know, five of those games at least. Which obviously, you know, you can slip up, but if you can go 5-1 in your last six, I mean that's what the schedule sets up for nicely.
There's also the chance we talked about the awkward week one matchups. Apparently, you know, Carolina and Cleveland plays week one, so that could be a Baker Mayfield revenge game right off the jump. Other schedule things that jump out: we get Christmas football.
Yeah.
Triple header of Christmas. Where are the games there? We got the Bucks going to Arizona, the Packers going to the Dolphins, and the Broncos going to the Rams on Nickelodeon.
I saw someone point this
out.
Which I thought was kind of funny, is that those Christmas Day games are also just kind of like a big middle finger to the NBA.
Well, that the NFL we know is king. It's a middle finger to the NBA, but then they turn around and give the same middle finger to college football on New Year's Day.
But on Christmas Day, I mean, you're taking away markets.
What were the markets?
Well, the Packers, that's the Bucks.
Yep.
The Dolphins, that's the Heat.
Yep.
the Lakers with the Rams, the Nuggets with the Broncos, and the Suns with the Cardinals. Like, those are all
pretty good
teams. They'd probably want to. They'd at least want to probably put a couple of those teams on Christmas.
I would think all of them,
like, especially.
Really.
I mean, yeah. The Heat, Buck, Lakers, and Suns. You'd want to put on Christmas. Yep. Nuggets would probably you'd want to put on.
They'll probably be the 10:30 night game. Yeah. Maybe their game's over by then. But then, like I said, they're then coming for college football on New Year's Day. Like, the New Year's Day bowl games have been moved to the second already. They're doing the second because they know they can't compete with a full day of NFL games. And then there's a Monday Night Football game on the second, so they're pretty much having to squeeze their Rose Bowl in at, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon because they know that, like, hey, we want to get as many eyeballs on there as possible, but we also know that week 17 NFL Monday Night Football game, which is Bills and Bengals, which – you know, could have some gigantic ramifications for both teams.
Yeah.
Two of the young, bright quarterbacks, like, the college football is like, yeah, we're not going to compete with that either. So the NFL definitely flexed its muscle on both.
It was nice for them, too, but Christmas falls on a Sunday, so you can be like, oh, well, it's our day anyways. But
they're not.
I'm surprised they moved everything to that Saturday.
Well, they're not doing the full Christmas Day slate, right? They're doing everything on the Christmas Eve, which is what they used to do that and just give Sunday off. But now they realize, like, hey, we want the actual Sunday games, too, or the actual Christmas Day games, too, so we're going to do that again. We'll see it next year if they try to do it again on, like, a Monday. And the year after that, they're like, hey, we're doing it on Tuesday, too. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that was one thing that definitely jumped out. So Germany, we already talked about that. Germany gets a game, finally. And then, otherwise, there's some, you know, look at who had the toughest, who had the easiest schedule, so we'll dive into that after the break because some of the stuff, a lot of the stats you'll see in terms of schedule strength is based off of last year's, like, win percentage, which I don't think is the right way to do it because teams are either better or worse than they should be, or teams are better or worse the next year than they were the year before, so I don't think it's fair to go off last year's success.
Like Seattle, obviously, losing like Russell.
They weren't very good last year.
Yeah, but still, it's a drop, I would feel like. Broncos, too, as well, think should be a
comparing, bump. Like, the Colts whenever, like, the year Peyton Manning left or, you know, the year Peyton Manning's hurt or the Broncos after Peyton leaves or, you know, just
– not only that, too, but also teams just, like,
that
play, like, a third-place schedule last year and have a pretty good year and all of a sudden they're playing a second or first-place schedule.
Like the Steelers last year. Going to be easier to play them this year than it was last year.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe, but I
– honestly, I don't think
– okay, well, sure, but I was –
If Big Ben was any good. I get your point.
If Big Ben was any good. But you might be right. Maybe the Steelers actually be better.
Miss Keith's the same,
We'll dive into some of those numbers that, you know, maybe tell the real story behind the schedule after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. When we're looking at the schedule, you can get an idea of who has the toughest, who has the easiest schedules. I think the best way to do it is what Warren Sharp does. He looks at basically the strength of schedule based on games against teams with the highest and lowest, like, win total expectations in Vegas.
That's what I was thinking, how you should probably do it.
I don't know why more people don't just do that.
Because it's easier to look at last year's schedule and add the numbers up and say this strength of schedule, their opponents had a 457 win percentage last year.
Yeah. No, I like the win totals way better. That makes way more sense to me.
The easiest schedule in the NFL?
Cowboys?
Cowboys are not it, because the Cowboys did at least finish first place, so they have to play at least the first place schedule.
The Commanders.
Commanders have the 6th easiest. I mean, you guys are right when thinking of the right division.
Yeah.
The Giants and Eagles have the number 1 and number 2 easiest schedules.
I figured whoever finished last in that. Or I guess the Giants finished last, so yeah. Never mind. Because they play the last place schedule and the NFC East.
Eagles, nice win. The Eagles have to love where they're at right now, which I had a little bit of a run-in with Eagles fans because I made an A.J. Brown joke on the internet and they found it and they were wanting to argue with me for a while, which I didn't really go back and forth with them. I just, whenever they leaked that, like, the Titans-Eagles were going to play on week 14, I just, like, good, I'm glad we don't have to play A.J. Brown in this game. And then they got mad about that. Which I like that, like, some of them are getting mad and, like, tagging A.J. Brown. Like, what's A.J. Brown? Like, what's tagging him?
Honestly, A.J. Brown might tweet at you, like, 3 or 4 times and delete them all.
Which, I mean, like, no, he wouldn't. He's a sub-tweeter. But, like, he would. I mean, A.J. Brown seems insecure enough to, like, name search his stuff anyways. Like, I don't need to tag him. But, like, what are you trying to do? Like, get some clout with the athlete by tagging him?
Which, it's going to. The funniest part is, it's going to be week 14. And it's going to be like the third week in a row that A.J. Brown's going to be doubtful with a nagging
100%. Like, we know what's going to happen.
Like, man, that one ball guy I got mad at was right. I hate A.J. Brown.
But you could all see them, like, liking the tweets. I know they're trying to save him to come back to later, but I'm like, I'm welcoming it. I'm like, yes, please come back. No, like, I'll talk to you then.
Oh, they are going, like, they're going to be bullying A.J. Brown by week 17.
Yeah. Like, you kind of saw the way they were treating Doc Rivers last night, and poor Doc was having to fight for his life about how he does a good job, and you got James Harden and Tobias getting booed.
Build me a better roster as well.
Yeah. But the easiest strength of schedule, the Giants.
Okay.
The Eagles. Bad news, Titans fans, cover your ears. The third easiest is the Colts.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Which they had an easy schedule last year, too, and then what stumbled on was, you know, losing to the Jaguars.
Having
obviously.
Carson Wentz.
Well, and stumbling against the Jaguars. Which, granted, they don't have to play the Jaguars in week 18 this week. We have to this year.
Oh, no.
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, no.
Yep.
The Jags do have a history of, like,
spoiling
ruining
seasons,
someone's season late in the year.
They got us, Mariota's, what, second year, third
They've
year?
They ruined Mariota's career and our playoff chances all at once.
No, they didn't ruin Mariota's career, was it? I thought
his career
broke
back,
his
baby.
Okay.
He was never the same after
and
he
when I think of ruining his career, I think of the Redskins at the time messing up his arm. Because that's when he, like, lost feeling in his arm and, like, was terrible the year before. But sure, he lost some athleticism.
I think he was a good quarterback, and then he broke his leg. He was having a great year, and he was never the same confidence-wise, pocket presence-wise, whatever.
I just give credit to Washington for, like, messing up the nerve in his arm, and then he couldn't throw a football anymore.
That too.
Rounding out the top five, the Bears and Lions. Those are the easiest schedules in the NFL, according to, again, win totals that are forecasted in Vegas.
Okay.
The toughest schedules, by far number one, the Kansas City Chiefs. They are by far number one.
Yeah, I saw they were the first team ever to have, I want to say it was like the first 7 weeks or so, every team that they're playing had a winning record last year.
Really?
Something like that. I'll see if I can find the.
They had a similar tough start last year, I want to say, or 2 years ago. Like, I feel like they kind of always kind of have to do that. Which, I mean, they weren't very good at the beginning of last year, so that kind of checks out. They weren't very good 2 years ago either at the beginning of the year. They were under 500 whenever, you know, they got smashed.
Yeah, they lost that game to the Texans, like 16-10 or whatever.
I just remember, like, 2 years ago when the Titans beat them.
Yeah, first team in NFL history to start the season with eight straight games against teams that had a winning record in the previous season.
That's a pretty tough start.
Yeah, they go Cardinals, Chargers, Colts, Bucks, Raiders, Bills, Niners, Titans to start the year.
Now, I will say, like, my one complaint so far about just using Vegas win totals, I do think there should be a wait for home and away.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, I do think having to play teams on the road, like, for example, like, the Titans are number 21 in terms of schedule strength.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right.
Well, 21st easiest, so I guess it'd be, like, the 10th hardest.
Okay.
So looking at it that way. But, yeah, like, the 21st easiest.
I thought you meant 21st hardest.
Sorry, no, 21st easiest. I guess it looks like the 10th hardest or 11th hardest.
But, again, yeah, like you were saying, Buffalo on the road, Green Bay on the road, Kansas City on the road.
All in primetime, too. I feel like there should be, like, a little bit of added juice there, like, that makes that schedule even tougher. But rounding out the top five hardest schedules, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Raiders. So that the AFC West got it bad this year. And then the that's the Rams. That just confused me. That Ram head looks like a damn bolt. So sorry, the Chargers don't have the second toughest. It's the Rams, who, of course, that makes sense. The first place schedule, Super Bowl champions. Raiders, Pittsburgh, and Texans. Those are the five toughest schedules. The three teams next are teams that I think are, you know, worthy of pointing out just because the Jets, if you're thinking about them, you know, making a surprise push.
This year, yeah.
Keep in mind they have the sixth toughest schedule. Seventh toughest is the Bengals. So, like, when you look at, like, them maybe repeating and winning that division again, like, they have a by far tougher schedule than someone like Baltimore, who comes in with the 11th easiest. And then the Patriots, kind of the same reasons. Like, if you think that's a team that could be back in the mix, keep in mind their schedule is really, really tough. Cam, the Falcons are two spots below the Patriots at the 23rd toughest.
Yeah, I knew he'd have
23rd easiest. So, yeah, right
I knew
there.
He'd have a top 10 toughest schedule kind of thing going on. We usually do for some reason. Love how we can be bad and still get a tough schedule.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't see how it works, but it keeps happening.
I guess it's maybe the Saints and Bucks prop it up.
I guess, yeah.
But I don't feel like the Saints probably have a high, like, win total.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
Obviously, Tampa would, but I don't know about the Saints.
I mean, we do play the Rams this year, the Browns, Bucks twice, like you said, Bengals, Niners, Chargers, Ravens.
Yeah, it's pretty
Cardinals,
tough.
Steelers.
Cardinals sandwiched in between the Patriots and Falcons. So, like, if you're looking at, you know, Kyler Murray's bounce back and whether or not Kingsbury survives. Anybody, Charlie, you want to ask about? Anybody I didn't hit? Makes me a little bit nervous about the Titans' division chances just when you look at, like, their schedule compared to the Colts.
What's the Ravens' schedule look like this year?
They have the 11th easiest.
Okay.
Cowboys have the 10th easiest.
Kind of wondering. I feel like the Ravens.
I feel like the Ravens
are they kind of flying under the radar a little bit?
They are, but at the same time, weren't they the favorites to win that division?
They should be.
Or like the Browns are. Like, I mean, the Bengals had like the third best odds, right?
Yeah, yeah. If I remember
which
correctly,
seems fair.
Yeah, it does. But like, it's just not something that people really, I think about, just because, you know, that's the defending champions that just went to the Super Bowl. When I say champions, of course, I mean the defending right. division champions.
I mean, the
and
Ravens,
the AFC,
like,
champions.
The Ravens were so banged up last year, but they still, I mean, they're obviously very well coached. They do have a great defense. I thought they had my favorite draft of any team in the NFL.
The Ravens did?
Yeah, they did. And I guess the biggest question is receiver, which I feel like they'll still try to sign like a veteran. Maybe they'll be the landing spot for Jarvis Landry.
They've been linked to Jarvis Landry. But they could maybe even be desperate enough to overpay Odell or Julio. So like, there's three like names out there, which I don't know.
If not, it's Bateman, Duvernay, and
I don't know.
Who's the third?
Sneed still there?
Yeah, I was gonna say
it's not Sneed. It's
Didn't they just – who'd they trade Brown for?
They traded Brown for a draft pick, but I don't know if they draft anybody.
God, this is killing me. Who else is it?
I don't remember.
Another one of those young receivers that's kind of unproven. Obviously unproven. Now I have to look it up, but I really thought it was going to come to me.
Yeah, the Ravens are tied with the Browns for
– both of those guys at plus 200. Mm-hmm. The Bengals right behind them at plus 210. So, I mean, it's thought of kind of as a
– tight little race there.
Duvernay, Jalen Moore –
I know exactly who you're thinking.
Prochet, the second.
It's Tylan Wallace
I was trying to think of.
I was
thinking Prochet.
Prochet, too, but Tylan
Benjamin
Wallace,
Victor,
I think,
whoever
could
the hell
actually
that
take
is,
a nice
like,
little step. Tylan Wallace was a dog in college. So maybe
Rashad Bateman as well. Like,
yeah. Rashad Bateman,
I like
they
Bateman
really like.
Out.
And I like. I mean, I like Bateman, too.
He was banged up last year.
Right, that's fine. I'm just saying, like, there's not a lot of proven talent on that.
I think they are going to. I mean, they're going to roll with Bateman as their wide receiver one.
But at the same time, you think, like, with Lamar, like, you don't really need a wide receiver.
But, I mean, they get J.K. and Gus back. It's a good offensive line.
So that division's a coin flip. Like, we'll see what happens, or a three-sided – what's this three-sided coin flip? Just a triangle of – triangle match?
Dungeons and Dragons dice?
Triangle?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's a four-team race, really.
Well, if you believe in the Steelers, you can get them at plus 850.
I'd already have the Steelers odds for everything. I mean, think about it. They were a playoff team last year, and I think they got better. Like, whether it's Mitch Trubisky or Kenny Pickett – they're not going to be worse than whatever Ben Roethlisberger was last year.
My problem with that logic, Charlie, is I think the Ravens, Browns, and Bengals all got better.
Did the Bengals get that
much
better?
Yeah, they got another offensive lineman. They drafted a good
defensive back. They also like
defensive back.
Logan Joby and
Burrow's going to be there for another year. Like, I think they got better.
I think they did.
I think the Browns obviously got better. Now we'll see if
I'm
Watson
for a suspension.
Yeah, I was going to say
at least 4 weeks.
We'll see how long Deshaun Watson suspended, but the Ravens.
Steelers
are just going to be healthier.
Find a way though, like the Steelers are. Just
I hear
you.
I hear you. And if you're talking about just like their win total, maybe. But
I'm
like,
so excited for Steelers Bengals this year to see George Pickens just carry on the.
Isn't that the week one?
In that. Oh, that is week one.
I think so.
That's my new week one game. George Pickens is going to murder a Cincinnati Bengal.
Pittsburgh's over under 7.5. So, like, if you tell me they won 8 games, I'd say okay. Like,
I'll
not,
take that just
yeah,
because they
like
never have a losing
like,
record.
Now you're losing me, but they could. But like. In your mind, is it Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky, or does it even matter?
It doesn't matter to me. It's just not Ben Roethlisberger.
I mean, that's a fair.
Like, if they can have a guy that can throw a football 55 yards, you know, that it's an upgrade. Which I guess maybe, you know, whoever it is, Trubisky or Pickett, you know, probably.
Are fake slides illegal in the NFL? I don't think so. Are they?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
They just all
They haven't always.
Fake slides.
Vic used to use them on
fake slides weren't even legal when Kenny Pickett did it. He should have been ruled down. That was the incorrect call.
There's a difference between
I thought
slide.
It was sick.
There's a difference between a fake slide and a dead leg, so we'll see. I don't know.
I'm still because, a big fan of that play. I thought that play, was a sick play.
Yeah, the rule I hope next time he goes to slide, someone just drills him in the face and says, sorry, I watched the tape. He does the fake slide. Sorry.
Hey, that's the risk he's got to take.
You're spotted down, though, where the slide begins, not where you actually make contact with the ground. So by that logic, if you begin a fake slide, you should be spotted down where that fake slide began because that's how you're supposed to be spotted. He should have never been able to get away with that.
I just thought it was a fancy juke.
I thought it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Oh, this song just puts me in a Friday mood.
Oh, yeah.
My girl wants to party all the time, and so do I. Charlie, you got any plans this weekend?
Yeah, no, I'm going to Nashville tonight.
That's right. What did you say, a golf tournament?
Golf tournament.
I assume you guys are going to win?
Probably not.
What?
I don't know.
Can win the Masters or not?
You telling me you're not going to win?
Why would I win?
Who are you playing with? I assume you're playing with your golf friends.
I'm not playing with that. I'm playing with my friend, his brother, and his dad.
Oh, okay, so not your golf group.
It is not our scramble group.
Okay, never mind.
If it was our scramble group, yeah, we'd win. But there is one thing about this that I find interesting, right? So this golf tournament, it's Centennial High School, like fundraiser, alumni, yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada.
But they included $1 million hole-in-one challenge on the flyer. Surely, like, that's just on there to try to get some eyes, and they can't actually give away $1 million, right? Like,
they're just hoping nobody does it.
Like, are they?
Have you ever seen the movie Semi-Pro, Charlie?
Yeah, I have. But
I feel
what
like it's like Jackie Moon out there, just like no one's gonna hit this half-court shot. No,
like that is the ballsiest thing. Like, who is really seeing that? Like, man, I wasn't gonna play in this inaugural Cougar Classic golf tournament until I saw that they have that $1 million hole in one challenge. That
I mean, it's cool to make it go. It's cool to make it go viral. Like, if you're trying to get your name out there and people talk about it, which
it just feels
most
like
the,
such an unnecessary risk.
Sure, but most of the time, I mean, almost all the time, when these giveaways, they'll have it heavily insured, so like they just pay a small like little premium to like a insurance company. Which I don't know how much they'd pay, $1,000, $2,000. I don't know how much they'd pay, and the insurance company would just take the chance that that's not going to happen.
It feels kind of like sports gambling. Just, will there be a hole-in-one in golf tournament? Like, no, minus $800,000. But I'm going to try to hit a hole-in-one and win $1 million, and well, I don't know if I'll get it.
I feel like, I mean, do people not always try to hit hole-in-ones?
Well, not always.
I mean, I know like on a par 4 or par 5, you're trying to hit a hole-in-one.
Like,
but
sometimes I just think, get it to the middle of the green, Chuck.
That's what you think? I mean,
sometimes it's like, hey, I don't want to mess with the water on the left, or I don't want to try to go over this left bunker here. I want to get to the middle of the green, for par.
I understand that in tournament golf, but like real tournament golf, if you're nursing a lead or something, of like an actual tournament that matters,
well,
but like
this tournament matters to me.
I feel like I should be out there trying to hit it.
I really want to win this thing, but I'm going to be trying.
So you're out there laying up. You're like, hey, I'm going to play it safe. I don't want to be on the upslope over here, so I'm just going to play. You think you're that good where you can try to put it down there where you want it?
No.
But just aim for the pin as close as you can every time.
I do most of the time, but I'm just saying every once in a while. But either way, like, I'm going to win this $1 million. And
no, you're not.
Why not?
It'd be cool if you did, though.
Like, how crazy would that be if, like, I just came here Monday and it's like, hey, yeah, like, it wasn't even actually that good of a shot. Like,
can I have $2,000 if you win $1 million?
If I win $1 million, I'll give you each $10,000.
Okay.
But you have to, we all have to spend $2,000 all on
together,
all in one night.
Okay.
Okay. I'm into that.
But I'm going to do it, too, on a shot that goes, like, 5 feet off the ground. It, like, bounces and, like, skips up and ramps up the edge of the lip of the green and, like, somehow just
it would be really cool.
In.
Now, I don't know what the course layout is. Like, do they even have any, like, par threes that, like, have a – I mean, I assume they have –
It's a course that I've played, like, 150-plus times in my life. So, we all have, which is probably – maybe we do have a decent chance. I don't know. We're all, like – pretty decent golfers, but we all have
all it takes is a little luck.
We all have strengths that complement each other, like in terms of scramble golf.
So it's a 4-man scramble?
Yeah, like his dad is just electric with the irons. My buddy is just like can drive it incredibly far.
I'm tired of hearing about your golf groups, putt, to be honest.
And I can only putt, but I don't know. Maybe
you can putt and hit hole in ones.
Well, I'm not. I'm gonna hit a hole in one tomorrow.
They're gonna have like a fine print, like only first shot per group.
Yeah.
So like, if it's like the third guy in the group, it's a hole in one. Doesn't count. Sorry.
Oh man.
That's what's gonna
happen.
You
think I have to share the $1 million with the other three?
No.
Or do I just get to keep it?
If you hit the shot, I feel like that's all you.
I mean, I feel like you should probably split it with your group, honestly, though.
Really?
Yeah, like if I was on a four-man group and someone hit a hole-in-one and I didn't and they won $1 million, like it would be their $1 million, but like I'd be a little salty if we didn't. Like, I would try to make the agreement with people, though, like, hey, like, let's just all split it. That way we can all be happy for each other.
I guess that's fair.
But they'd also look at me like, you have no chance of hitting a hole-in-one, so no, you get no money here. So that'd be, okay, that's fair. That's cool. I get it.
That's all I want. There was a video the other day.
Oh, he wants $1 million?
No, a hole-in-one in life. That's just...
That's it?
I'll retire from golf, potentially, if I hit a hole-in-one.
Does it count if you do it like at a par three course?
No. I don't think it does.
Because I was going to say, just go play a par three course every day until you do
it. There's a video of a kid I saw on Twitter the other day. It was like his first round ever, and he hit a hole-in-one on like one of those shots. It almost just rolled from the tee box to the green. It was like a little seven-year-old. And I hated that seven-year-old with every fiber of my being. And people were like, oh, this is so cool. Congratulations. Like, what a lasting memory. I was like, I want this seven-year-old to have the worst golf career ever. I hate this kid. I never want him to have another good shot again. He doesn't deserve it.
Okay. Well, I hope you win, Charlie. Is that just a Saturday thing? Just one
day,
Saturday
thing. Might go out tonight in Nashville. I don't know.
No. What?
What?
You're on a team.
Yeah.
And you're going to go out?
I think
the night before the big tournament?
It's not till 1.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. No.
No?
You know you don't go out. If I found out that we were on a team together, especially like
actually,
I assume there's a prize.
Point. That's a good point. Yeah. We are going to go out tomorrow night to celebrate our win, but
Yeah, do that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'll stay in tonight. Maybe spend some time
with
mom and dad.
Just don't post it anywhere online and don't let anybody
know.
Spend
some time with my mom and dad, you know? Maybe I'll make them some dinner or something. I don't know.
Okay.
There you go.
Don't get your hopes up, mom and dad, if you're listening. I don't think I'll be there in time to make you dinner.
Hour 2 in the books. Hour 3 on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.